Greet you in the name of the Lord of the Church. Brother Sherwin was talking about courage. Takes courage to stand up here. I covet an interest in your prayers this morning as we continue this worship service. We had a Sunday school lesson on the virtuous woman. And I appreciated Brother Josh's emphasis on the fact that it's not just to the women, but it's to the men. And also the thoughts that were brought out in relation to the man being a virtuous man. You know, sometimes I'm afraid that we as men, we look at the virtues that are listed in the Bible, and this is the ideal, this is the woman, this is what we're looking for. But we're not willing to be what we need to be as men in order to deserve or attract that type of woman. Continuation on the Christian home this morning, we're going to be looking at the husband and father. So it's a switch from Sunday school. And I have two main points that I'm going to be looking at in relation to husband and father, and that is love and leadership. There's a lot of points under those, both of those. But I look at the congregation here this morning and I see that we have a lot of individuals who are not husbands and fathers. I don't want you to tune out. Wives, in this message, you're going to hear what your husband should be, according to the Bible. God said you are a help meet for him. Help him to be that type of husband. Young men, when I was your age and the minister would get up and say he's going to preach about husbands or wives, I'd say, well, it's not for me, and I tune out. I ask you not to do that this morning. Because someday, if it's God's will, you will be a husband and maybe a father. And there's no better time than now to begin to learn what God expects of you as a Christian young man, to be serious and to consider what God is requiring of you so that you would be fitted and have the wisdom and the knowledge to proceed into that role as God calls you there. Young sisters, you never will be a husband. But the Word of God can give you guidelines as to what you are looking for a stable home, for security and for love and for the raising of children, if God would grant you that. And I want you this morning to listen and understand that it's not just handsomeness or physical strength, but it's the character and it's the displaying of God, of a godly man, that you need to be looking for. Singles, you had the privilege of having godly fathers in your life. And if not, this is what God wants you to look for. Not that you're looking for maybe a husband or to be a husband, but that you're looking for someone who gives that stability and that leadership in your life and that direction that you need. In the world today, we see women who are aspiring to be leaders. We see women who are filling places in government roles of authority. And I believe the reason that is happening is because we as men have become weak in our role. And maybe we haven't, as individuals, as churches, as homes, and even as a nation, looked at what we were looking at this morning and realize the great calling that a woman has under God. We think of husbands and fathers this morning. I want to remind you that according to God's word, it needs to be in that order. There are individuals today who don't want to be husbands. There are men who don't want to be husbands. But they want to be a biological father. That is the moral breakdown of the land that we live in. We need to stand, brethren and sisters. And then also a husband and a father who does not love cannot lead. And I realize that that statement needs some qualification, and we're going to do that as we go through the message this morning. Last Sunday, Brother Sherwin brought a message out of 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I apologize, Brother Sherwin, that my mind wandered a little bit. But there's a phrase in the third chapter that caught my attention. And as I looked at that later this week, I realized that is one of the reasons why we need husbands and fathers in the home today. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Begin reading at verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Brothers and sisters, especially brothers this morning, the reason that we need fathers and husbands in the home is because perilous times are upon us. And we need to recognize that. And we need to see the seriousness of the times that we live in. I do believe that we are seeing this list materialize before us on every hand. And we need fathers and we need husbands in the home who are willing to take their place. First of all, themselves turn away from these things and then lead their families away from these things and towards God. Malachi chapter 4, the last chapter in the Old Testament. And I looked at this because of something that was said yesterday. And you brethren who were in the Parents of Youth meeting yesterday will recognize a lot of these things. And I thought about it as we were sitting there discussing. I thought, well, you know, We touched a lot of points that I'm going to be touching on in this message today. And I gave it some thought. Maybe we should just continue our open discussion that we had, that we started yesterday morning. I was challenged and encouraged by that. And as we go through this message, I will be touching on a number of points that we talked about yesterday morning. Malachi chapter 4. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day cometh, the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Brethren, this morning, that last verse, turning the hearts, and he shall turn the heart to the fathers, of the fathers to the children. And I don't know, but I really appreciate the order in which this verse is placed, because it is very doubtful that the hearts of the children will be turned to the fathers unless the heart of the fathers are turned to the children. So the heart of the fathers needs to be turned to the children. And how do we do that, brethren? How do we develop that heart for our children? Is it not by what is brought forth in the preceding verses about the coming of Christ and the prophet? I believe that may be referring to John, but the teaching of Jesus Christ taking root in our hearts and changing our hearts from the vile, sinful heart that it is into a heart of love and appreciation for God, and then love and appreciation for the things of God, which include family and home and children. And as our hearts are turned toward those things rather than the things of this world that so easily can draw our hearts aside, as our hearts are turned towards our children, towards our family, I believe it will be a stepping stone for our children to have their hearts turned towards us and the teaching that we give them. What are our hearts being turned to this morning? I'm going to read a number of passages of Scripture this morning in opening here, and then we're going to go to the two points that I had mentioned before. I thought about reading Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 3, but I decided against that for time. But turn to Genesis chapter 18. We're going to be looking at some very familiar verses of Scripture, but I want to get them fresh in your mind so as we go through this message, you have them there in your minds. In Genesis chapter 18, begin reading at verse 16. And it would help if I would get to chapter 18 instead of chapter 19. Chapter 18, verse 16, and the men rose up from thence. Now these are the men that had come to Abraham as he was sitting there in his tent. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on their way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of. And then turning to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether it be the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 22. This is one passage of scripture that, if you look at the context, it may not be directly referring to fathers and husbands in the home, but I believe that it does apply to individuals who are called to take leadership. Ezekiel 22 and verse 30, God is talking here. He's talking to the nation of Israel. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Turning to the very familiar passage in Ephesians chapter 5. I'd like to read a few verses here. I'm purposely skipping some verses. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23 says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." And then dropping down to verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church." Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." One last passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. "I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, ye have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore, I beseech you, be ye followers of me." As we look at these passages of scripture, we see an outline that God has given for leadership in the home, and then extending to the church and to the nation. But if leadership and love is lost in the home, it's lost in the world around us as well. I'd like to begin with the first point on love. The world today has taken that word and almost made it a dirty four-letter word. Because in the world today, the word love should not be spelled L-O-V-E, but it should be spelled L-U-S-T. Because too many times, the relationship and the union between a man and a woman is not based on love, but it is based on lust. And that is why we see so many homes, so many families broken apart, so many individuals who grow up in homes where there are missing parents, or children that are shuffled back and forth between two parents in different homes instead of having the security of both parents in one home where love dwells. Love is a commitment. We think about love as, you know, being maybe a feeling. You know, maybe I feel love towards somebody, or, you know, a husband feels love toward his wife, and that should be. We can't throw the feeling away. But brethren and sisters, we need to recognize the fact that love is a commitment. When you became a husband, you committed to love and to cherish and to protect and to provide for your wife until death parts. It is a commitment. There are days, and I don't say this because a failure on my wife's part, it's a failure on my part, but there are days when you don't feel like loving. There are days that the devil can make things get under your skin. There are days when the devil can blind your reasoning because you allowed self and pride to get in the way, or I allowed self and pride to get in the way, and you don't feel like loving. But it's a commitment that you made. And you need to recommit yourself to God and uphold that commitment. There are times that it's possible that misunderstandings come in the way. There are times that situations arise that you just don't feel like loving. But you committed. You promised. Love is a commitment. Love in an individual's heart will reach out to others. Brethren, as we read in Ephesians, a man ought to love his wife as his own body. And it says, for no man ever yet hated himself. But you took care of yourself, right? You made sure that you got what you felt you needed to survive and to thrive and to keep on going. Do you look at your wife the same way? Are you willing to give your wife the best? Do you love your wife? Do you care for your wife? Do you protect your wife as much as you take care of yourself? And I'm not just talking physically. There's a lot of things enter into this loving, giving, self-sacrificing. Are you willing to give up some of those extra hours at work and the bigger paycheck for the benefit of your wife or your children? We're talking husband and father. And as we go through this, I'm not just looking at the husband-wife relationship, but I'm looking at being a father as well. You know, it's not necessarily the things that you can provide for them that show your love, but it's when you give of yourself. And we'll be touching that a little bit later. But when you are willing to give yourself to your wife and to your children, you're willing to lay aside those things that would bring you pleasure, those things that would maybe enhance your ego. You're willing to lay those things aside for your wife and your family. And that reaches into the next two points. Care for and protect. Love for another individual and the commitment of love will cause us, or will open our hearts to caring and protecting. And we can look at that in the physical aspect. We care for them. We make sure they're provided for. We make sure that they have what they need. We make sure that when they get sick, they get the help they need. That's all well and good. And that needs to be. As husbands, you are called to do that. You're called to be the provider. But you're also called to protect and care for in the spiritual aspect. And I'm afraid, brethren, that sometimes the natural things take precedence over the spiritual things. I know in my own life, my own family, there were times when I couldn't provide like I would have loved to because of job and family expenses and so forth. I couldn't do what I wanted to do, and I felt like a failure. Brethren, fathers, do we feel like failures when we do not provide spiritually for our families? Do we recognize the seriousness of that? Do we realize that we are dealing with souls that are going to live for eternity somewhere? Our lives, our example is going to have a bearing on an individual that sometime, somewhere is going to have to make a choice of whether they're going to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior or whether they're going to turn their back on them and walk away and live in sin. The direction, the care, the protection that we give them spiritually is going to have an influence on that decision. And we need to take that seriously, brethren. We need to understand that God has given us these individuals into our care, whether it be our wife or our children, our sons and daughters, are given to us by God to care for and to lead and direct. I realize that every individual has a choice, a personal choice to make. But we need to be sure that we grasp the reality of the fact that our care and protecting of our families spiritually is a responsibility that God is going to hold us accountable for in the day of judgment. What did I do? And then also, along with that, taking time. Taking time. Time to listen. Fathers, you're busy. Husbands, you're busy with everyday things. You have to provide for your family. You have to work. And not all of us have the privilege of working at home on a farm where we're with our families all day long. But are you willing to take time? I don't know what the numbers are anymore. I had heard at one time, but I don't know what they are, that men speak a certain amount of words a day, and women speak a certain amount of words a day, and women's number is higher than men. So we as men, we go out to work, and we're with other people all day long, and we're talking, and we're discussing, and by the time we get home, we've said our amount of words. But our wives are only beginning, because they've been alone all day long or with the children all day long, haven't had the opportunity to really communicate with a lot of individuals. And they want to talk. They need time. And they don't just want to hear about your day. They want to tell you about theirs. And if I come home from work and years gone by, I used to talk about air compressors and the maintenance fellows I worked with, and now I talk about trucks and trailers, that's not really what they want to hear about. Do you have time to listen? Do you have time to listen to their day? Do you have time to listen to their hurts, their needs, their joys, their accomplishments? And when I say there, I'm talking about your wife and your sons and daughters. Do you have time to listen? Do you have time to consider what they're saying? Or is your mind elsewhere? Yeah, you're sitting there listening to them, but you're not really listening. Do you have time to listen and consider? Consider what they're saying. And if there's issues, if there's problems, if there's concerns, if there's hurts, if there's needs, do you have time to pray about it? Do you have time to consider and pray? Or do you just want to get an answer off the cuff and then go on and everything's supposed to be okay? It's not usually how it works. I found that out the hard way. Time to consider and time to pray. And then time to answer. Time to discuss, time to communicate. Not just give them an answer, but allow them to ask questions. You know, sometimes we get the idea, what, you know, children are just supposed to accept what the parents say and are not supposed to question it. As they get older, that's usually not how it works. Sometimes an answer raises more questions. And then we need to listen to those and consider and pray and answer again. Communication, but it takes time. Do we take the time? Do we love our family, our wife, our sons, our daughters? Do we love them enough that we're willing to take time? Or do they see that we love the things of this world more than we love them, and they take our time, and we don't have time for them anymore? We come home from work. We started early. We worked late. We come home from work, and we're tired. All we want to do is eat a good meal and relax and then go to sleep. Well, that leads us right into the point of leadership. Leadership is a responsibility. And brethren, fathers, husbands, we need to take that responsibility. Sometimes we look at leadership as a privilege, and we look at all the advantages we have, and we look at ourselves as being the top of the pile, and we think about all the people that are supposed to be listening to us, and we, you know, that makes us feel good. That boosts our ego. But fathers, husbands, do you recognize the responsibility that comes along with that? It's not just being the top one on the totem pole, but it's being the type of individual that deserves to be there. And by taking the responsibility of being a leader, we can look at Jesus' words and we can say, we need to be servant of all. If you're going to be a leader in your home, you're going to serve. You're going to take the responsibility of serving others, right back to love and giving and self-sacrificing. But that's what it takes. We need to stand in the gap, as we read there in Ezekiel. God is looking for individuals to stand in the gap, to protect our homes, to protect our families, and not allow influences and sinful things to enter the home. That's our responsibility, brethren, is to stand in the gap, to protect the family from the evil influences that are out there. We have opened the door, brethren. Are we willing to stand in the gap? Are we willing to take a hold of the situations as they arise? Or do we turn the other way, hoping they'll disappear, hoping they'll take care of themselves, hoping our wives step in? Brethren, we have the responsibility to stand in the gap, to close the doors, to make up the hedge around our house so that our wife and our children are safe, so that when they come home, they can find security and safety from the influences of the world around us. Our home should be a haven of rest. Are we willing to stand in the gap, to close the door on the evil and immoral influences that are all around us? When our young men come home from work and they've been bombarded with immorality and language and suggestiveness all around them all day long, hopefully our young men are employed in places where that is not as prevalent, but it's still there. Do we as fathers stand in the gap? Do we allow them a place where they can feel secure? Do we allow them a place where they can open up and talk about these things and ask questions? Do we give them a place of security where they feel like they can share the burdens that are on their heart? Brethren, I encourage you, stand in the gap. Decisions need to be made. Directions need to be given. Examples need to be lived. Brethren, are we doing that? When a decision needs to be made, do we let our family hang? Well, they're not sure where Dad is on this. Or do we give direction? Do we make decisions? Are we willing to stand? Maybe it's not going to be a popular decision with the young teenager, or maybe even the five-year-old, or our wife. But we have to make a decision. We have to give direction. And brethren, the most important thing is we need to lead by example. If we want our children to be Christians, we need to lead by Christian example. We need to be godly men. We need to be godly leaders. We need to be individuals who are allowing God to direct our lives. God must be on the throne. We need to be an example. Maturity and stability. You know, sometimes we look at our young people and we say, things they do or things they say or things they want to do, and we look at them and we say, well, they're so immature. You know, give them a couple years of learning and living life and let them develop some maturity. Fathers, are you an example of maturity? Are you an example of an individual who has learned from experience, who has learned from instruction, who has learned from input of other people? Are the decisions that you make a sign of maturity or a sign of selfishness? See, my time is run out and I'm not done yet. But I'd like to challenge you with this one point. You cannot lead and be a peer. I have seen fathers who would rather be a peer to their son than be a father. And I believe, brethren, that if we're going to be childish with our children, we can't lead. And I'm not saying that you as a father may not get down on the floor and play blocks or trucks with your sons, and maybe even sit down and have an imaginary tea party with your daughters. But children aren't looking for someone who is their peer. They're looking for someone who can give them security. They're looking for someone who can give them love. They're looking for someone who can give them direction. And that begins when they're real small. I said yesterday morning at our meeting that, you know, children, when they're little, in their minds, Daddy can do everything. He can fix everything. And I saw that in my children. When something broke, they'd bring it to Daddy. You know, here, can you fix this? Something wasn't working right. Can you fix this? But the time comes when they realize that Daddy can't fix everything. But if Daddy is willing to admit that, goes a long way. But you cannot lead and be a peer. You cannot stoop, fathers, to the immaturity of your children and youth and lead. Be a man. Be a father. Be a leader. and then give instruction, direction, and correction. Talked about making decisions. The decisions need to be made. But you need to be willing to be able to give instruction and explaining that decision and going with that decision and giving direction to follow that decision and then giving correction when that decision, when that ruling, that law, that leadership is not obeyed. Again, I'll say something that was discussed yesterday morning, and that is that we cannot just talk. One of the brethren made the statement about talking till they're blue in the face, and it doesn't seem to help. If you're not willing to correct, if you're not willing to mete out discipline, if you're not willing to set consequences and have them have the child realize that consequence, you will talk till you're blue in the face and it's not going to get anywhere. Brethren, you need to stand. You need to be a father. You need to instruct. You need to give direction, but you also need to give correction. That's not always easy. And I used to shake my head and I used to almost get angry when my father said, "It hurts me as much as it hurts you." It can't. Because not only did it hurt me physically when he gave me correction, but it hurt my pride. Young people, when you become parents and the responsibility is on your shoulders, you'll begin to realize what your parents meant by those words. If you love your children, you love your family, correction is going to be a painful thing for you. But that doesn't mean you turn away from it. Fathers, this morning I'd like to challenge you. Who of you is going to be willing to stand in the gap? Who of you is going to be willing to love your family enough to give yourself to them? Who of you is going to be willing to be the man of the hour and to train these young souls and to protect your family, your wife, your children? Who of you is going to say today, "I'm going to be a man of God and I'm going to direct my children and my household after God"? Let's kneel for prayer.